I think we should pick up with our discussion of Situmta. We ended off before Yontif with our discussion of the Shita of Rabbeinu Pinchas, who, as I didn't point it out, I guess took a break from the writing the Sefer Achinach to have this Chiddush on Situmta, right? The brother of the Ra'ah. And what's different about Rabbeinu Pinchas' Shita is that whereas these other Rishonim thought that Situmta is going to add a new kinyan, meaning it'll expand the set of halachically valid kinyanim to whatever is commercially recognized, Rabbeinu Pinchas' view, and I'll share my screen so you could all see it, Rabbeinu Pinchas' view was that what's going on in Situmta is just that there is an ambiguous action. You gave this coin that had no stamp or seal in it, and were unsure whether your intention or your action was that of a security deposit. You're depositing this piece of silver to show your seriousness about paying for the item at some later date, or whether you're using the piece of silver as a kinyan chalipin, as a kind of barter exchange, which would be a halachically valid kinyan. And so your action could fall under any of these descriptions. It could either be just this kind of deposit, in which case it's not a kinyan, or it could be a chalipin, in which case it is a kinyan. And we're going to let Minhag decide, or we're going to let Minhag inform us about which description your action falls under. And so Minhag is doing something very different, according to Rabbeinu Pinchas. And according to Rabbeinu Pinchas, it's not the case that Situmta would recognize any halachically valid kinyan. And as Zecharia pointed out, Rabbeinu Pinchas himself, or the Ritva commenting on this shita, says, "She'ein minag ze mevata halacha b'klon." Right? This isn't even a case of minag mevata halacha. This is just a case of minag informing our interpretation of the act of giving the piece of silver as a kinyan chalipin. So I thought that's a really great shita. That's one important shita that we left off with. The other point that we left off with, which feeds into what I want to discuss today, is the discussion of the Ramban over here in the Sugya in Kiddushin. Let's pull this up. On the Sugya in Kiddushin on Chaf Hei, the Gemara had a whole shock of Itaria there about how you're supposed to transfer an elephant if it's only nikne behagba, and the Gemara suggested a few possibilities. What's important for our purposes is that the Gemara didn't say, well, just do whatever is whatever the parties want to affect the transfer is sufficient. The Gemara didn't say that. I think Gemara said, Maskeflar of Yosef, Pilar of Shimon, B'mai Yikne. And the Gemara said, oh, maybe Chalipin, Socheres Mekomo. The Gemara had all these suggestions. And the Ramban here points out, why didn't the Gemara just say, well, as long as the parties agree to be Makne or Kone and Elephant, B'mashicha, that's to be sufficient, if Das is really what matters. And the Ramban says, well, Lo Masro Chachamim Dine Haknaos Lamochrim. The Torah didn't give parties that kind of power to just, by fiat, declare what constitutes a valid halachic transfer. And I thought this is really important because it allows us to prove that Situmta cannot be grounded in the narrow sense of kol tanai shebe mamon kayim. So, according to this Ramban, we as individuals don't have the power to privately agree between ourselves that this transfer of the elephant should be valid through a mashicha. What would work, I think, is a public custom that transfers elephants a certain way. If there's an established minhag about it, that would be sufficient. That's going to be the normative basis for Situmta. But a private gemiras das between two parties would be insufficient. So I thought this idea of the Ramban here, commenting on the Sugya and Kiddushin Chaf Hei, is crucial for establishing or trying to prove the difference between Situmta as grounded in Minhag and the claim that Situmta and all these Minhag issues in general are grounded in Kol Tanai Shebimamon, which is about private agreements. Is everybody on board for that general diuk in the Ramban and how that would motivate disentangling Situmta and Minhag from the narrow sense of Kol Tanai Shebimamon Kayim? Yoni?
Yeah, I mean, I made the same objection the last week, like towards the end of...
Yeah, you had the sharp, you wanted to say a chiddush that dafka, mishich, dafka, like within the Torah prescribed kinyanim, you can't change, right?
Yeah, I think the point here is nothing to do with disentangling Tanai from Minhag, but it's about differentiating between new forms of kinyanim or, and kinyanim which already have... specifically prescribed limitations on what they can.
So my two responses to that is A, I'm not sure I agree, right? It seems right to me that if Situmta could create new kinds of kinyanim like Mesira Samafteach and Tkias Kaf and Chasima Saroshem on the Chavios, then, you know, it seems right that it should also be able to allow a Meshicha to work in a case where it's customary to use a Meshicha. So that's my first response. I just think it makes sense. It makes sense to think that you're wrong.
Should I respond to that or should I wait for your second point?
Wait for the second point. And secondly, I think that
they'll... Who's talking in the background? Is Itamar, is that you?
No, it's Mindy. And Yoni's...
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Do you have an objection to trying to silence the women?
No. I'm not trying to... Not the violence inherent in the system.
Yeah, first, Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies, and then you're trying to silence
all
the
right,
rest.
All right, Itamar, let's give share.
Okay, so I think the second point here is that Shalomasu Chachamim Dini HaKnaos Lamochrim, that phrase is very broad. Right? I see no reason to limit that to just Meshicha and Hagbah. You know, the Torah, in that phrase, I don't think there's any reason to limit that phrase to mean Meshicha can't be used for something that requires Hagbah. I think it's a general statement that Kinyanim don't depend on private wills of Mochrim, right? But it will depend on the publicly accepted customs. But you could respond, Yoni.
Well, to like the Svara argument, I think Dafka and Svara makes sense the other way around. I think, and the whole point of Meshicha, Hagbah, Yisira, all of those Kinyan, like when you learn through like the, you know, Masechet Kiddushin or you know, Bava Batra, like you learn through like each of these Kinyanim, like there's a specific reason they're prescribed, they could do certain things. Like Hagbah has a certain symbolism that Mesira does it, that Meshicha does, and then Meshicha has like certain limitations inherent to what you're doing. And then you just learn through, like, some of these demons, like, why Meshicha, you know, applies to certain animals or certain things, while Hagbah doesn't. I mean, I can go through, like, the details, but I think it's very clear, like, there's a certain prescription that Hagbah only works in certain cases, because that's, like, what Hagbah symbolism means. And I think that's near Ramban's point, that you can't expand, let's say, the classic kinyanim to, like, new things. Like, you can't use Dini HaKnaot L'mochrim means you can't, like, reapply, like, the classic Dini HaKnaot, do what you want with them. I think that's how you read that line.
Yeah. I definitely understand what you're saying. Anybody else sympathetic to Yoni's reading?
Look, the Ketzos has a famous comment where he quotes Tamar. That was about one of two things, either the Ksos or the use of the word famous. I can't tell which.
Go for it, Cole. Let's see where this is headed.
The Ksos is a famous comment in which he says that the different kinds of kinyanim are adequated to the degree of ownership that they confer. So there's a whole discussion, for instance, in Cheskas Abatim about which kinyanim effect are good for what kinds of property relationships to a field, and different things work for like a kinyan heros or a kinyan gof, etc. So the Ksos goes through the cases, and they do seem to be the cases seem to work. It seems like a good theory. to me anyway.
I agree with that. What troubles me about Yoni's view is that the Situmta should work to allow a Kenyan Yeshmeyayin, but yeah. It won't work to expand Meshicha to something that's Nikne Bagba. Right? To me, that's just that's like uncompelling.
It's uncompelling because I don't know. We have if you and I were designing a legal system from scratch, we would be very liberal in allowing, you know, certain methods of Kenyan to affect, we would probably come up with one of two systems. Either you need consideration or promissory estoppel is sufficient. And that's it. And I don't really care whether it's money or whether it's a symbolic transfer. You can decide whatever prices you want. It could be this could be the consideration, or my iPhone could be the consideration. Who cares? It could be, I think it's certainly true. The Rivid might disagree. But I think it's pretty clear that the halacha wants a kind of this kind of symbolic symmetry between certain objects that are transferred, between certain kinds of ownership, certain incidents of property with respect to certain kinds of objects, and the methods with which they are transferred. And that would be the best defense of Zolti's reading. On theoretical grounds, I'm much more sympathetic to you, though.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So we'll keep Yoni's point in mind. But I think this is like an, I still think, I accept the both Yoni and Cole's points. We can think more about it. But to me, I think the cleanest way of reading the Ramban is this distinction between private agreements between mochers and lokeachs and public conceptions of custom. And when the Ramban says lo nitna kinyanim le mochrim, that means in a private sense, but this publicly recognized Kenyan sense that would work, and that's the idea of Situmta. What I want to look at now is, and this furthers this cutting anchor from the private sense of Kol Tanai Shev Mamon Kayim, is the magical powers of Situmta to prevail over problems of Asmachta Lo Kanya, Davar Shelo Bal Yolam, and Davar Sheina Bershuso. So I want to take a look at what the mechanism is for Situmta being able to do those things. So with respect to Asmachta, just I think the broadest way of understanding Asmachta is that it's a transaction or an agreement that's invalidated because of some kind of speculation, or maybe insufficient. You could reduce that to insufficient Gemiras Das. But the general idea of Asmachta is that if I enter into an agreement and I accept a term thinking that the term will never materialize, then that's not a binding agreement because I didn't really think that that term would come to fruition. So there are a lot of classic examples. One of them is, I'll work the field and I'll pay you the a certain fixed percentage. But if I don't work the field, then I'll pay you anyway, right? I'll pay you some penalty or something like that. So that might be a kind of an asmachta, because when I entered into the agreement, I clearly thought that I would work the field. Another example that we'll see is in engagements. I say if I back out of the engagement, I'll pay a certain penalty for breaking the deal. I only really accepted the penalty because I thought that I would go through with the Kedushin or with the Shiduchin.
These are cases where there was a formal Maisa Kenyan, or where there was just a...
Usually these are cases where there's a formal Maisa Kenyan. That's right. And it's still invalid on the grounds of Asmachta. So Tosos addresses Asmachta in the context of Situmta. Famous Tosin Bamitsiya Samech Vavim et Aleph. By the way, I told you I'm gonna break up the Makoro sheet into smaller files. This way it looks like we covered more topics. Because if it all just looks like Minog, then it's like, oh, we've been doing Minog for so long. But once I create a separate thing on Situmta, then, you know, to look. And then we'll do a separate thing on Darshina Lashon Hedyot. You know, we could knock off, you know, more of our success charts.
Add more. Talk about didicta.
That's right. So,
do you feel like last year we didn't cover enough? Is that why you're feeling defensive?
No.
The law school students are getting antsy.
I'm perfectly fine. You know, I'm like a kol Torah kula inyan echadhu, so I'm fine sitting on one sugya. I'm
right
totally
now,
fine
doing
with
it.
Sort
of a head tech.
Yeah, I just, you know, sometimes people need, you know, feel like they're moving a little more. So that's my, you know, just capitulating to the needs of the kahal.
All experience is an arch where through gleams that untraveled world margin fades forever and forever.
That was nice, Cole. I was just going to say it's the equivalent of Gabe cutting out his drasha to allow the chazan to do his thing. So similar thing for me. So the Tosas here in Bava Metzion Samach Vav Med Aleph cites the general idea of asmachta, and he says, Bishar asmachtos, even if you say me'achshav, it's lokani, unless you do it in a bezin chashuv. So generally an asmachta is no good, even if it's with a kinyan, even if it's me'achshav. Umihu, Tosa says, Knas she'osin b'shash shiduchin mahani, afilu lo kanu b'bezen chashev, kivin she'noagin bo kol olam, midi dahava asi tumta delakamon dekanya. Tosa says this knas of, if I back out of the engagement, I'll pay you $1 million or whatever, $10,000. That's a valid kinyan because the practice is to do it that way. And he gestures to the notion of asma of situmta, and says, by the same force of minog kivan shen noagin bo kol olam, it becomes valid according to halacha. And you can see the Or Zeruah has a similar statement on this. So the Or Zeruah quotes the Rashmi Shantz about these coins that people used to give at the time of a shiduchim. Notice here, he says it's like shetiknum ha'olam. It sounds like there was like a takana. Kedamina b'sof pirkin shekonin b'minhag. Right, as we say in the end of this perek, Ezu Neshech, by situmta, that minhag can make it a valid kinyan. Vegam kimochen yesh lahoel, these coins, the offering of these coins, b'shiduchin, kivan shekola olam noagin litein osan b'shiduchin. So it's similar to Tosvos, that even though it would be l'chora an asmachta, see here he's coming off this asmachta issue, even though it would otherwise be an asmachta, since it's a minog to do so, it gains halachic validity and halachic force. And again, he appeals to situmta, that's his reference here, kaminibus of pirgin shakonin b'minhag. I thought it's also interesting that he expressly conflates takana with minhag. I know this is a recurring theme that has been coming up. He starts off by saying shetiknum ha'olam, and then he says, he cites the idea of asmachta of konen b'minhag, and he says it's binding in shiduchen kivan shekol ha'olam nohagin litein osan b'shiduchen. It's kind of an interesting melding of these two different ideas. Adin, you have a hand?
Yeah, I think that Like these two examples, especially the continuation of their lashon, might, we don't necessarily have to go as far as saying that, like, oh, situmta has this like greater power that it can undo asmachta, which regular kinyanim can't. It could just be that the ubiquity of these seemingly asmachto type of agreements might make them, in a narrow sense, these are not. It's not that situmta can overpower asmachta; it's that these are not asmachta. Especially because both of them kind of go on to describe the reason they're not asmachta is kevan shebevayish and chaveiro, and the words are the same thing about the malamid tinokim, that tinah tinokos.
Well, let me say this. This is a separate idea. From here, the ode is a separate idea about the penalty not being excessive. So hold off on that second part.
Isn't the idea that the fact that it is a guzma is what makes it an asmachta, right? The fact that the penalty seems so outlandish is what makes it like the same way, like I'll pay you back for Maytav or what, like that's at least how I understood the sugya, like an idea of a soft in general. So he's saying that the fact that everyone does it, and maybe we can even go a step further, the fact that everyone actually enforces it the fact that this is a traditionally enforced penalty makes these specific cases not an asmachta.
Good. Yeah, I think that's a very good way of putting it. I don't disagree with your formulation, meaning for my purposes, what I think is important is that once something becomes commercially acceptable or customary, it now gains halachic validity. So my point is not that there's something magical about a kinyan situmta that allows it to prevail over asmachta. My point is that like the idea of minhag, which grants situmta its halachic force, also can prevail over these shortcomings of asmachta, right? So minhag can now make... Minhag can make something that would otherwise be an asmachta into now, and therefore an invalid halachic transfer into something that has halachic force.
I thought you were saying that it like defeats asmachta, but we're just saying that it redefines what asmachta would be.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I don't want to go so far as your formula. I think your formulation is a little too strong to say that it's no longer an asmachta because it's a minhag. I think you might think that these are still asmachtas by the halacha's conception, but kivan shenoag in bo ha'olam, we're gonna give them halachic validity. That's a.
Itamar, isn't this example? This makes it sound like if Minhag is doing the job of Bezdin to kasher the asmachta, I assume that the or is a substitute for Bezdin. Maybe it's not doing that. I mean, it sounds like what Bezdin's doing here is adding like they're like super Edei Kiyum from a Gemuris Das perspective. Maybe you could say like, you know, either or on the, you know, Gemuris Das is fine, but Minhag's enough, or Minhag's also fine. But,
very plausible.
Yeah.
You know, and you could say like, oh, the problem, and this is what I didn't get at, a problem with asmachta, that's Gemuris Das, but here you have Gemuris Das, something along those lines. But I do want to say, but what I want to say is that I don't think, it's clear from this sugya that a private Tanai would not be able to prevail over the asmachta problem. So you can't just say like, look, we agree that this should be a valid kinyan, right? We both have, you can't just write, we both have Gemuris Das. What you require is something to have this public customary minhag status in order to overcome it. So I think this is important for disentangling the situmta issue from the idea of kol tanai sheva mamon in the narrow sense.
That could still be a das issue, but then even the tanai thing, we just don't believe you. Like the whole point of situmta, of asmachta, is that it's just such a guzma, it's just so unlikely that even if you make it tanai, we just still don't believe you. But like, if minhag becomes that, then like it becomes much more likely that like that it would be really what you mean.
Okay, so but notice, it's still minhag that's doing the heavy lifting, right?
Minhag is just determining that it just changes the reality, and then the reality is we would have assumed that this is like an exaggeration. So no, it's not an exaggeration because like this becomes like the market standards almost.
It's interesting. So I agree, and I think both Yoni and Adin are pushing this point that there's a macro explanation and there's a micro explanation. The macro explanation is that minhag is what kashers it. The micro explanation might be that, you know, minhag kashers it because it shores up the Gemuris Das issue, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that the macro has to come at the expense of the micro. I think they both could be true. But I want to like just look at it from the macro perspective. And I think that's still significant. Even if the macro thing is significant just by raising the micro issue or shoring up the micro issue, that still speaks to the normative halachic force of minhag and being able to do so. Right? That's in a way that kol tanai sheva mamon couldn't.
It might hinge on like a close reading of that highlighted phrase kivan shenagu bo kol olam. It's quite like I think I was reading it as, or I could read it as, no, what is the minhag? The minhag is the enforcing it. Now we don't actually care about the actual technical type of knas you're imposing, but the fact that it is enforced makes this no longer a guzma. That like the enforceability of the the enforceability of this seemingly guzma interaction is more important than the action. Whereas, you know, if you read it, that it's the actual, that everyone does this transaction, everyone does these coins, or everyone writes this crazy tanaim in their elocution, that like that could hinge on do we want to read it in a more narrow or expansive way.
Okay, that's fine.
Don't hang it on enforceability though. That's like a second order question about.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree with Cole's point, and I also want to add a further point that it's Meduic and Tosos. They're really two separate things going on. The first half is about the minug. The second half is about it's rightful to punish people for breaking their agreements. In the second half, he says. If the penalty is fair, then it's not an asmachta, right? Because it's not an exaggeration. In the first half, he doesn't say that, right? In the first half, he doesn't say it's lava asmachta. It sounds like he's saying, oh, it's an asmachta, but there are certain ways to prevail over an asmachta through relying on the kind of normative force of kinyanim. So it's like, yeah, this is all speculative stuff, and, you know, by the halacha's lights, it wouldn't be kosher. It wouldn't be valid. But if this is what everybody does in the marketplace, like then we're just going to go along with what everybody else does. Even if by the halacha's own lights, it wouldn't be something we want to give voice to. We want to give legal force to. And that's different from what he says in the second answer, where he says, like, well, given these background facts of the penalty being fair, it's not even an asmachta anymore. So the way I read the first part of Tosos is quite different from the way Adin's going. I think the idea is that yes, it's the fact that people do crazy things on the markets and buy futures and all these like crazy speculative ways, that doesn't make it less speculative. All it does is that it gives us a legal reason for validating it. I think that's the way I'm reading the first part of Tosos. Yakir, you have a comment on this? You wanted to.
Yeah, I think that's right.
There you go. I've got Yakir on my side. He's like Shakul Keruba de Sanhedrin. So, but Yoni, feel free to disagree.
Maybe I'm just missing the significance, but like if the macro level, as you call it, is just what it really means is that that the minhag like redetermines like the party's das. Right, such that the minhag effectively it creates, you know, new market realities. That instead of it being like a crazy sale, you know, you're getting nothing out of this deal. Now it becomes like the market just changed. I don't really see a significance of that statement. Like, shouldn't it always be true that, you know, the market can always be determined based on minhagim? And then the minhag could be that, you know, instead of something being worth $10, it's worth $100. Like, that's always been true based on, like, minhagim.
Right, so my view...
Such a different statement.
Right, so my view here is, I think what I was getting in the last formulation, and I think it's a little more precise, is that even if the micro thing doesn't get affected by the macro thing, right, so even if, like, the halakhically the transaction is just as speculative with a minhag as it is without a minhag, right, the fact that a lot of people do crazy things doesn't mean that it's less of a crazy thing to do. The halakha is still going to give it legal force simply because it, like the halakha gives legal force to minhagim. So,
well, that's what I'm saying, that it depends on like what you think asmachta problem is. Like if asmachta is a problem of das, it's just a problem of like the parties just not having the right, you know, intentions, which I'm pretty sure Tosos like famously, to use a Cole word, famously a das type svara. So like I think then that means that there's not much significance. Like, yeah, the das of the parties is going to be totally determined.
That's so achronish. That's so achronish. No, like you're getting all Rebbe Chanan on us. You know, it's like you're like everything's gemiras das, and we all know asmachta is gemiras das, and all kinyanim is gemiras das. And
it's about your Rebbe Chanan.
I mean, it's just like if you're consistent within the shitas, like that's just like how you would.
Read it. Itamar tar this svara.
I just think that's getting that too. I think that's getting too. I think it's A, too speculative. Like, I don't think we should all hang our hat on asmachta just being a Gemara's Das issue. I think we should remain neutral. So, Yoni, your point works if you could. Yes, so if it's just the Gemara's Da'as Hishu, fine. I just don't see any reason for like going all achronish on the sugya, especially when it comes at the expense of this really other good interpretation, right? Which says like there could be many reasons why the halacha invalidates asmachta. It's bad policy, right? We don't want to investigate Gemara's Da'as in each case, v'chule v'chule. An asmachta is just like not a right that can be transferred. Like rights have to be transferred decisively.
I agree. I was just saying that I was just pointing out that I think the macro issue is affected, or whichever one it is, they are dependent, at least somewhat.
They might be. Right? They might be.
And then if you think it's Das, then it will make a difference. Then the significance of this.
Okay, but I just don't see why we have to go all in on the Das boat.
Well, the only reason that I would suggest it is because Tosfot's like famously the Baal Shita of Das here, but you don't have to subscribe to that.
All right.
Itamar, would you accept the compromise view that even if the basic problem with Asmachta is that we don't think the guy is serious, the solution to the problem swims around that? Good. Okay.
Yeah, great. I think that's totally fine, right? So okay. Maybe yeah, Yoni's
I
right.
Agree. I think that sounds like, right, because on the one hand, it does seem as though our view is like, he didn't really mean that he was going to give you all, you know, all six of his houses if the rain didn't fall tomorrow. But on the other hand, we can, by the powers vested in us as a legal authority, you know, stipulate for whatever reason, could be policy, could just be, you know, my preference, which is just kind of like implicit public consent, that, you know, it has meaning now, you
that's
know,
right.
Regardless of...
Exactly.
Okay,
and Mitnick, you know, Mitnick said he couldn't make it today, but he'll be back on Thursday. Zacharoso ish latov.
I miss his dog.
That's right. Zacharoso ish latov. You know, I think Mitnick could be right when he said that there might be something just to the halacha not wanting to frustrate reasonable expectations. Remember, he said this in the context of the Tshuva of the Rivash, right? These guys, there was a certain custom in the town about how the Yerusha would go, and then they moved to somewhere else. Right, so moving to a different town is not a reason to frustrate the expectations that existed in the town where the business was done. So, you know, you might even have like Mitnick-esque reasons here to say, yes, asmachta lo kanya, there's no gemiros das, etc., etc. But once this expectation is set, given that like this is what society recognizes and this is what the parties reasonably could have expected under those rules, the halacha will give it legal voice. Okay. I didn't you want to get something in before we move on to Devar Shlomo Le'olam?
Yes, I think it's a good segue to this next thing, because isn't our machlokas in terms of how to read or define Tosos, it's the exact machlokas between Maharam and Rabbeinu Yechiel. Does Minhag have the power to, the Maharam is saying that Minhag, like you're saying, has the power to like, to defeat like prevailing halachic norms and things like that. Rabbeinu Yechiel is saying, like, if you read Tosos more now, like, no, Minhag maybe has the power to, in the Asmachta case, the Min is a window into allowing us to redefine these cases as not an Asmachta. But here, where there's no way to do that when it comes to Devar Shlomo Bar Yolam, so he's like, no, Minhag can't defeat a halachic reality, then this one is not definable, there's no path to redefining in this case.
Okay, so I think that's a little too quick for my pace, but... Yes, I do think the Devar Shlomo Le'olam stuff is going to be related. How exactly they're related, I think we should let's approach it a little more slowly. But broadly, yes, I think that this Devar Shlomo Le'olam thing is going to be very related to the Asmachta issue. So here we have the Tosh Beitz in Simen Shin Sadi Ches. Part of this makes its way in the Mordechai also. The Tosh Beitz cites the Marami Rutenberg, discussing a case of Mila. It's actually, you know, when you read this case, you might be skeptical that it's actually relevant to Sitimta. But even if you're skeptical about the Tashbates being directly relevant, I think the Chassam Sofer makes it more relevant. So the Tashbates here cites the Maram, who said, Adam hanodeh lechavero litein lo bino lamul, alios bal brisha tzarech lekayim lo. So I think this is before the child's born. So, you have a child that's expected, and I say, you know, Donnie, you're a great guy. You could be the sandik at the upcoming bris, right? Just get a haircut before then, right? And right? So I, you know, I give away the kava to Donnie. And the issue is, am I bound by that? Even though, by the pure principles of, let's say, you know, halachic agreements, this would be invalid, because of davar shlobal yolam, bekan shehu minag b'nei adam shenojer b'nei emzel azel amul, alios babres umekaymin, since the minag is both to do this and to be bound by it, it's pretty interesting that he says both, right? The minag is to do this and to make good on your word, gam bekan yesh lekayim, so this guy has to make good on his agreement. Kedisa b'mitzia haisi tumta kani. Uvas is nihigil mikni mamish kinyan. Kilomar hasi tumta bishvil shehu minhag. Afkan ho'elu minhag hu tzarech l'kayim. From Rami Rundberg, his analysis starts off saying that by the pure principles of davar shlobal yolam, this agreement is not binding. But by applying the idea of situmta, that minhag has normative force in kinyanim, this fellow, I'm bound by my promise, by my agreement with Donnie. Now, this position of the Mar... So the way this idea is taken in the Achronim is that situmta can prevail over the problem of davar shelo bal yolam. That's the standard reading of this Maharam. All right, Adin.
Would it be easier to appeal to a shibud guf?
That he's mishabed as gufo or something along those lines?
Yeah, like the Tosfos at the beginning of the fifth parak of Ksuvis.
It's an interesting idea. Maharam doesn't do
this
that.
Isn't like a pro... I mean, usually davar shelo bal olam has to do with like a property interest that you're transferring before the property in question.
Yeah, this is an imperfect case, right?
This is a weird.
Yeah, but look thing. At but you'll see the other Rishonim, they have better cases.
Okay.
But they're analogous to this idea of the Tashbates. Rabbi Yechiel doesn't like it. Mi Rabbi Yechiel Pariza Yomer Demasne Beodem Uberes Ein Oklum Mishen Dav Davar Shlo Bal Yolam Uve Davar She Yoel Kinyan Have Minag. Very important distinction, right? He's saying that obviously a situmta will work where a kinyan works. It won't work in areas where kinyanim don't work. So the idea is that situmta or minag can work to expand the set of kinyanim. It won't work to expand the kinds of transactions that are valid according to halacha. Right, so like it won't work for l'chora smachta, it won't work for davar shlobal yolam, it won't work for davar shein bo mamish. Velo dami l'situmta, you can't appeal to situmta by as a paradigm. D'hasam have a davar shebal yolam, v'yasa haminag l'hachshav ha-situmta kilo haya kinyan gamor. So it makes the marking of the wine barrel as if it was a meshicha. Hava b'davar shelo haya mo'el bo kinyan, kiyon davar shlobal yolam, lo matzinu shemo'el haminag. So this debate is widely understood to be a debate about whether situmta will work to prevail over the deficiency of davar shelo bal yolam. According to Rabbi Yechiel, situmta could make something into a kind of meshicha or hagba. According to the Maram, not only could it do that, but it also has the magical power to allow you to transfer things that are untransferable on the pure principles of halacha. Let me give you some concrete applications of this. So you have the Chasam Sofer and Siman Samech Vav, who was asked about transferring, I think this is really about transferring some form of an item that you don't really own. I think it was about debts, but I have to double check. The tshuva, the discussion here doesn't really shed light on exactly what he was asked about. But in Siman Samech Vav, the Chasam Sofer quotes this Tosos that we saw about Situmta. And he says, Kivan Shenogen Olam Havale Kisitumta. And then he expands it and says, V'hochanami dekavase bivadai kenhu diva asmachta mahani minhaga olam. So He says, for sure, for asmachta, if something's a minag, the minag will prevail over the asmachta problem. And then he cites a rush in a tshuva, which we'll look at, where he says, "De'im ha'minag ha'olam lahaknos b'shtari chachiris dvarim shelo bali olam, mahani mitam situmta." If the practice is to sell these contracts of things that are not yet davar, that are not yet bali olam, it's going to work mitam situmta. He quotes the Mordechai in the machlokas between Rabbi Yechiel miParis and the Maharam. And he has this kind of novel interpretation of Rabbi Yechiel miParis. Did anybody pick up on how he interprets Rabbi Yechiel? Zacharia?
Yeah, it was kind of like he just kind of said that Rabbi Yechiel's working, his main nukimta in the case, that it just, the fact was that it wasn't the minhag to make such a neder with unborn children. But of course, everyone would agree that Rabbi Yechiel would agree with the Maharam that if there were such a minhag to make kinyanim and nedarim regarding davar shelo bali olam in this precise case, that it would be chal.
That's exactly right. So the Chasam Sofer is so stark on Situmta that he says everybody would agree if it's customary to transfer things of davar shelo bali olam, that would be valid. I mean, you could see here, like in our society, like in America, right? I mean, Shua is our contracts expert, right? But like for sure you could transact in Dvarim Shelo Bali Olam, no? In the United States.
Anything, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, there you go. Cole put it well. Sure, right? I could sell you the things that I'm gonna create tomorrow.
Contracts are promises, not transfers of extant property interests.
That's right. I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, but that also is just a very different way of conceptual, like what Cole just said, is a different style.
Different framework. But so I think Zacharia is right. The Chasam Sofer goes all in and says, well, if it's customary, everyone's going to agree that you could transact davar shelo bali olam based on Situmta. The only issue with Rabbi Yechiel miParis is that he's making an empirical assumption that there's no custom to transact davar shelo bali olam. Right, Zacharia? Yeah, so Chasam Sofer, is really strong on this idea. And he cites the Tshuva of the Rush, which we'll talk about in a second. So there is an interesting point here in this modal difference between Asmachta and Davar Shel Bali Olam. He says, notice Situmta, he says, is uncontroversially valid. Asmachta is uncontroversially okay with Situmta. Davar Shel Bali Olam, he thinks, is, I guess, more problematic or more of a question. It's not clear if he holds that modal difference lamaskana. Right? Once he interprets this Rabbein Yechiel as just being a matter of custom, it's not clear if he thinks that there's a ground to distinguish between Asmachta and Davar Shel Bali Olam. I want to come back to that in a minute. Rabbi Chanan goes all achronish on us here, I think in a bad way. All right, Shua, we'll see you. See you Thursday. Rabbi Chanan goes all achronish on us in... Shua, did Shua leave already? Oh, he's missing the good part. In Simen Reish Ayin Vav, I think Rabbi Chanan tries... Well, why don't you tell me what you think of him, and then I'll tell you my reading of this Rabbi Chanan. What do you think Rabbi Chanan is doing in this piece?
Kind of just a definitional stop.
What do you mean, Cole?
Saying that, the key line is the last one, as with Kohelet. Skip to the end. He's saying that, like, you know, Situmta, maybe Situmta can be like, can incorporate new methods of kinyan, but it cannot give you powers over objects that did not previously, that weren't previously apt for transfer by a kinyan.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know why that earns your ire, though. That's a That's a good thought.
Well, here's what he does, right? So structurally, what we have is just describing the phenomena, right? What you have is a machlokas rishonim whether situmta works for a davar shel bal yolam, right? And you know, it seems to me there could be numerous ways to explain that machlokas. And what Rav Chanan does is he says, "Let me tell you what the disagreement's about. Everybody agrees that Situmta doesn't have magical powers. The view that holds Situmta can prevail over Davar Shel Bal Yolam, i.e. the Maharam, that view just holds that the only reason why you can't transfer Davar Shel Bal Yolam in general is because of a Gemir's Das issue. And so he allows Situmta to fix the Gemir's Das, right? It kind of, it's a little Gemir's Das injection, and now it's okay. But if the problem of Davar Shel Bal Yolam is that, what he says, Ein lo koach hakna'a b'ma shel bal yolam, still a bit of a mystery what that line means, what does it mean not to have a koach hakna? If the problem is that you don't have a koach hakna'a, then Situmta can prevail over it. So what I think is striking here is this attempt to minimize the chiddush of Situmta, right? Meaning Rabbi Chanan's basically saying the most Situmta can do is add a Gemiras Das injection. And that's why that everybody who holds it works on those grounds. Now, I'm skeptical for two reasons. A, mehechetesi, that... mechatesi, that to read Gemira's Das into the issue of the Maharam and Rabbi Nachil Min Paris, etc. And second of all, like, why do you think it's fine to have Situmta inject a little extra Gemira's Das, but think it's not okay for Situmta to inject a little more Koach Hakna, right? So it's a little bit of a mystery to me what this koach hakna thing means. Masha ein lo koach hakna b'ma shel davar sorry mishum de ein lo koach hakna b'ma shel bal yolam. And so it seems to me to beg the question, why couldn't Situmta give you a little extra koach hakna based on the force of minhag? And so it seems to me that Rabbi Chanan's just resisting the whole notion of minhag being able to make kinyanim valid when they wouldn't be valid on halachic grounds. But let me hear, let's hear from Yoni, and then we could hear from Cole. Yoni?
Yeah, so I agree with you that there's, like, no evidence within the Maharam or Rabbi Yom Paris that there should be, based on Das issues, that this is what the sugya is about. But I think there is logic to say that asmachta relates to Das issues, and that Davar Shel Bal Yolam potentially is about Das issues or not Das issues. Like, that, those are classic, like, discussions in those sugyas. But I think there is a way to say that and why this would make sense, and that minhag, like, to reduce minhag to such a, you know, like, I think it makes sense. I think, as you say, like, there's no evidence to suggest that you have to limit it in this way. But he's definitely reading it the same way that, like, Adi and I were pushing to read Tosfot. So not like Cole in the chat,
this is true.
I agree. There's no evidence, but I think it makes sense. And then I think there's a lot of far to suggest that if you think it's about Das, so then Situmta might help for Davar Shel Bal Yolam, and if it's about something else, then it won't.
I know. I think I'm surprised by why, like, on what ground does Rabbi Chanan prime, like, ex ante think that Situmta at most could contribute a little extra Gemira's Das?
Okay, so hold on. There are two things here. One is, how does Situmta work when it does work, even according to Rav Elchanan? Okay, there, I'm happy to agree with Itamar that Situmta's contribution does not have to do with an extra injection of Gemiras Das. I agree with Itamar's disagreement with Rav Elchanan that the injection, the contribution of situmta does not have to do with extra gemira stas, but has to do with pick your source of extra, halachic power. But the point about, so all we've answered, all that first part of Rav Elchanan's conclusion is saying is when situmta does work, it works because it makes up for something that would otherwise be lacking that you need for a kinyan to be valid. That does not touch what situmta or any kinyan works for. And I think what Rav Elchanan's view is that like the halacha might be very liberal with allowing minhag to determine which method of kinyan is effective in certain cases. Zolti and I are sympathetic to the view that the halacha is more restrictive, but let's say it was less restrictive. That doesn't mean that the halacha is going to say that minhag can solve, gives you total flexibility. There will be limits. One of those limits might be that the davar ha nikne has to be balolam, whatever that means. And already in the Rishonim, it's not a new problem. I mentioned a few minutes ago the shibud way out. The Rishonim are aware that the principle of ein adam matne davar shelo balolam means restricting the world of kinyan a lot. But it doesn't seem crazy that, let me put it this way. For some reason, I have an intuition that if we're going to expand, if we're going to find new ways to, if we're going to expand the world of kinyan so that it can include new things as, to be as apt for transfer, there's going to be a more formal internal explanation to why those things are included. It's not just going to be we generally allow them, that we generally practice their inclusion. I don't know. Those seem like opposite. Because what's Rav Elchanan saying? You just lack the power, whatever your powers are.
So
crazy.
Why couldn't it be that on the pure principles of halakha, you lack the power to be makne, but because this is the custom to do it, you could have koach hakna mitam minhag to be able to affect the transfer. And in the most deflationary way, right? It could be because of mitnik esque reasons that the halakha doesn't want to frustrate your reasonable expectations set by accepted practice.
Yeah, so I guess the reason why, I don't have a, I don't have a worked out theory as to what the boundaries of this would be, but it does seem as though let me put it this way, the Gemaras sound like, not just about Kenyan, but Kenyan Dvarim as well. There are just some things that are not apt for transfer. The Situmta is, and let's just be clear, like what Situmta is as opposed to other things. Situmta is a method of transfer. We use a Situmta, what's the thing if we took the Situmta out of the Kenyan that we would insert instead? A chalipin or a kinyan sudar or something else. So it seems like actually a jump to say that the new method of kinyan that wouldn't absent minhag be valid would also enlarge the world of things that can be transferred.
So I agree. I'm sympathetic to the Rabbi Yochiel Mipariz position. I think for me, it's just like once you go in for the Maharam position, it seems to be an open question whether, we're dealing in a new framework of the power of minhag, or we're just, expanding the Rabbi Yochiel Mipariz thing out a little bit. Rabbi Chanan just, he kind of just basically just assumes that Situmta has got to be limited in this way. Let me motivate my point further. I think my point comes out of the Tshuva Sarash here, which the Chasam Sofer pointed to. Klal Yud Gimel Simen Chaf. This is a very long Tshuva about tax farming. So the way it used to work in medieval society, apparently, is that the community would pay taxes to the government, something like this. They had to pay a certain amount of taxes, but then they would sell the right to collect taxes to somebody else, right? So I guess you do, the community says, hey, we know we're going to raise $1 million in tax revenue. We'll pay you, but like, we don't want the costs of having to collect the taxes. So we pay somebody, we give him a percentage of whatever he collects. You know, so he gets to keep that percentage and he does all the collecting for us, something like that. So, or we sell the right up front, right? We sell the $1 million tax collection for $800,000, right? And, you know, the other guy could figure out if he'll break even or make more, something along those lines. Is that clear to everyone? Okay. So what happened here is this guy bought the rights to collect taxes from the community. The Murshim are like the board of the community, the people who are empowered by the community. He bought this right, and now their community is arguing that the sale was invalid. They want to be mevatel the tax farming agreement. Mishum dehavar davar shelo b'liolam. Mishum de'ein adam makna l'chaveru davar she'ena b'rshuso. So the idea is that they argued that we could not have sold the future taxes that we were going to collect because of davar she'ena b'olam, davar she'ena b'rshuso. They say both. Mishum dehavar davar shelo b'liolam, u'mishum de'ein adam makna l'chaveru davar she'ena b'rshuso. It's a pretty good argument. Right, for the same reason that really it's hard to sell a debt right until it's collected. So the Rush says, I'm sympathetic to that. But ze ani moda ledivrayam, dimidin Torah, ein kinyan nitfas bechachiros. You know, from the pure principles of the Torah, this sale would be invalid. Da filu chov gamor ein adam yachol lahaknos chov lechaveira filu bekinyan demilva lahotzah nitna. So even debts can't be transferred according to the halacha. Notice what he says right here. V'ein davar sheyachul alav hakinyan. Very important idea. When you sell a debt, there's no chayfetz to be sold. Right? It's like, what's the thing that you're transferring? And the Rush says, when you try to sell the tax collecting rights, ein davar sheyachul alav hakinyan. Now in Achronish language, that would be saying that the problem with davar shelo b'liolam and davar shelo b'rshuso is not a smichas das issue. It's not a gemiras das issue. It's, you know, I think what B'chanan's calling it a problem with koach hakna, right? There is no thing to be transferred. There's no chefetz hakna. So I think the framework of the Rush here, when he frames the issue, is that the problem of davar shelo b'rshuso and davar shelo b'liolam is that there's no koach hakna because there's no chefetz to be transferred. But then he says, I agree, I'm sympathetic on pure din Torah grounds. And it's true for loans, kol shekein chachiros deshana havidavar shel b'liolam, davar shena b'rshuso. He says, so all the more so, by the pure principles of halacha, you can't enter into this tax, can't sell the tax collecting rights. And here's the important point. Ela sha'ani roe minog ha'aretz kol hayom. But, you know, whatever you say about Din Torah, it's the minhag haaretz to engage in this thing and to do it this way and to view it as binding. Okay, so he cites the Situmta Kanya idea. And he says, well, yeah, because the general idea of Situmta is that Eza Davar Shenoagu Ligmar HaMekach, Kivan Shenoagu HaSochrin, Nikna HaMekach, HaKol Kemina Gamadina, Linen Gmar Mekach. So he ends up saying, okay, unfortunate that the halacha doesn't recognize this because there's no Chevetz HaNikne, but it's going to be valid through Situmta. So I see this Rush as a direct refutation of the Rabbi Chanan idea, because he's viewing Situmta as having the magical power to allow for a transfer when fundamentally there's no ground for it in halacha. What are your thoughts on that reading? Zacharia, you have a...
No, I think that's fair. I think the Rabbi Chanan is to use a phrase I once heard, the parallel opposite of the sans sofer. Just the sans sofer kind of reads the, denies the Rimi Paris and just kind of reads it into the Maram. I think the Rav Hanan is uncomfortable with the radical Sitzum to reading, and he just kind of puts everyone in the Paris book. And well, you will find Rishonim that just have the radical Sitzum to view. And that's just, I don't know, I just thought, I just read the Rav Hanan just a priori, he's not following that, and therefore we need to come up with an internal explanation of how can Sitzum to work. For the Rush, it's not really a question of how does it work. It just works.
I think that's exactly right, 100%. I totally agree with the way Zachariah put it. I agree that the Rav Hanan is kind of diametrically opposed to the Chasam Sofer. And I think you're totally right. This is kind of like the macro-micro question we were talking about earlier with the Rush. The Rush is you know, saying this Minog has the power to overcome Davar Shelo Bal Yolam, even if you go for the strongest interpretation of why Davar Shelo Bal Yolam is not Nitfas Bekinyan. Right, it's like it's Situmta works because it's the minog, not because it's a local infusion, you know, to overcome some local Kenyan problem. Thoughts on this, Donny, Yoni, Cole, Evan, Yakir, Gabe? Thoughts?
I agree with you.
All right, we have the Zolt on my side.
You read the Rush correctly, okay? Polakavod, but fine. So Rav Elchanan knew that some people disagreed with him. This isn't a refutation of Rav Elchanan. So you could argue that Rav Elchanan is saying that is just, you know, interpreting, giving the best argument for one side of the debate. I think he is giving the best argument for one side of the debate, regardless of what you think about the Kamiris Das point. The Minhag overrides everything. View, first of all, we just know it's false, even within Chush and Mishpat, we know it's false. Nezek is the big one. I'm
softening up to the Nezek question. I
do you have any evidence for that?
Not yet. I had a dream last night about
Nezek
being subject to Minog, and it's just like a question of like finding.
All right. I'm sure why you will, pay for the Freudian analysis necessary for,
So you should know, on Rosh Hashanah, I was looking into this, and I came across
a Chivas... Can you hear more about your dreams? Yeah, go ahead.
there's a Chivas Rashba, which we'll look at, where he talk, and where he again appeals to Darshin and Lashon Hedyot for what I take as a non-contractual issue, which I thought was pretty interesting. It's a case where... this is a bit of a side topic for us now, but it's a case where it's customary in the town to pay a commission to somebody who brings you buyers. So if I say, Cole, go buy from Donnie's shop, and you go, then it was customary in town for Donnie to give me a commission. So the Rosh Bar Netuva cites Darshin on Lashon Hedyot as a normative reason, as a ground for why Donnie is a chiv to pay me a commission. Now, it strikes me that that's a non-contract, it's not Nezek, but there's no contractual relationship there between me and Donnie, right? I just sent you to go buy from Donnie's shop, and he says, Darshin Lashon Hedyot, it's the custom in town, Donnie's gotta compensate you.
It's not far from your Latok setting.
Oh, so when I saw that, I was like, Yored, right? But then the Rush says, V'od Tam... is Yored L'Toch Sada Chaver Mashbicho, which shows quite clearly he thought these are separate reasons for requiring compensation. So when I saw that, I think it was that night that I had the dream, Nezek's not so far off from that, right? Because the reason to exclude Nezek from Minhag is that it's not contractual, right? You'd say like, oh, you need a contract to squeeze in these kind of background assumptions. But now I'm softening to the Nezek question, and I really got to fix that article that I wrote, you know, which took a kind of the wrong stand on all these things, I think.
Well, you admitted at the time that you were, that article was like very conservatively written.
That's right. It was written conservatively.
But we saw that the Rashba and the Tshuva was like, you go through Minhagim. He seems to equate Nezikin that there would be a role of Minhagim or Nezikin there too.
Well, he used, I think there he was using Nezikin in the you know, 1/6 of the Bavli sense, like in the Dine Mamina sense, not in the Bava Kamma sense.
No, he talks about it with Hezek Re'ia cases. He seems to talk about, like, if it was Israel Nezikin.
Hezek Re'ia is everybody agrees that that Hezek Re'ia is like this special. First of all, it's Paskin and Hilchos Shchenim. It's not real Nezek. It's like, you know,
it's like zoning laws. Sort,
yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, so, it's talk in the yeshivas because they want to give a shkafish here about it. They talk about how, like, oh, like sneas,
matovu alecha Yaakov.
Right, exactly. But like, okay. We know, right? That,
So I think this is an interesting. So cool. So are you saw given that Chuvas Rashba, which we'll talk about, are you coming around a little bit that maybe there's a.
No, not at all. But not for the reason you said. I mean, I think the I have to go in a minute. I think the best explanation I can think of today for why Nezek wouldn't be subject to Minhag is because of the element of Isser. That I think is there not in all cases, but you know, enough cases.
The question is whether the Isser is waivable. You might think that's very relevant.
There's no question that it's possible to have a chazakah for nezek mamu. That's true. A chazakah is a private thing, though. It has to do with, although it happens to be, isn't there a whole Rav Moshe tshuva about how people who ding your car in New York aren't, like, you know, you're not, it's not a tort because of Minhag, because everybody expects their car to be dung or dinged in New York. There's a Rav Moshe tshuva about that. I'm not making this
up. You know, the Rashba was making a similar point about Kepeda, about those leftover, you know, piece of linen or, you know, from the mochs, the, you know, the extra chutin left over at the tailor, you know, is there gneva on that? And there it all has to do with Kepeda.
I imagine that you're not going to get a posig to say that, like, you know, intentional, egregious, costly monetary.
Yeah, but what about a nezek that's not intentional, right? So we could.
Damn it! Yeah, maybe. But the point is that the mere pshia, sure. I imagine that you could probably.
So you're coming around, Paul. You're kind of slowly but surely.
Well, okay. But I don't know if I'm coming around. I never had any commitment to Nezek itself. All we've shown maybe is that, you know, is that Isser Beheter injects itself into Dine Nezikin.
Yakir, where do you fall on this question, Yakir? You softening to the idea that Nezek might be subject to Minhag? Let's see if Yakir is here. We'll see if Yakir.
Sorry, I'm sort of in and out. But I think Uriel's asleep now. I don't know. I softening to it, I guess, a little bit. I would want to see more about it.
Yeah, that's part of what we're going to look at in Darshina Lashon Hedyot. Zacharia?
On this kind of point, I was thinking maybe the more, I don't know what we're terming the macro or the micro, as in kind of the way that Minhag affected Asmachta and perhaps made it more binding or made it not a guzma, you might be able to find kind of this more kind of more lukewarm, less extreme way where Minhag can redefine the landscape where Nezikin happens, but will still follow the halachos of Nezikin. So, like, I don't know, like, maybe, like, Hezek Sheino Nikir, this might be a little too radical, but Hezek Sheino Nikir, well, since the Minhag Olam is anything of Shovi is considered significant, that might change the landscape of what we consider to be significant chafatzim, but it'll still have to fit within the classical category.
Right. So I think that's not going to be controversial, right? Like, the interesting thing would be to say, like, if the halacha says adamur li'olam, but the minhag is only bipshia, right? Would we adopt the Pshia rule over the Adam Mu'ar Li'olam rule? Right, that's where I think the interesting question is. But we have to stay tuned. Let's briefly discuss the Marshal and the Marashtam. Both of them make a similar point. So the Marshal, yeah. You know what? Maybe we should just hold. Let's take Yoni's point, then maybe we'll hold off on these guys, on the Marshal and the Marashtam until tomorrow. Yoni, you want to get a point in?
I just wanted to. I posted it in the WhatsApp group because I wanted, I guess, later. I thought, but there is a rash, but we saw not about Hezekiah, but in the context of discussing why Hezekiah is different, he has a line where he says that Hezekiah is different because it's like a sneeze issue. But it sounds like he's saying that, like, for things which you are allowed to be mochel on, so you can be mochel, you know, nezek turn to chasim. It sounds like you could, in that context, have minhag. Like there could be a communal minhag to allow, you know, people to trample over your fields.
Right, exactly. So for you're right in that tshuva, he said only, you know, Hezekiah because goren l'shchina shetestalik miyisrael without it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I forget in the Hezekiah what the status of Hezekiah, but it sounds like he's saying that at least niskei mamonot, not necessarily niskei adam, but niskei mamonot, sounds like there could be a valid minhagin that allows, you know, for people to knock each other out or knock each other's properties out in the street.
Yeah.
Like see, I such problem.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. Or even like this liability rule will be determined by the minhag in town, not by pure principles of Choshen Mishpat.
I think that would imply that I think that answers your question. Like there is definitely evidence towards overriding certain Nizikin principles.
I had this correspondence, I'll send out my email, with this law professor in Israel who dedicated his life to Minhag HaSochrim. And he told me that in my recent correspondence, as a Dover Pashut, that Minhag and these things doesn't apply to Nezek, it doesn't apply to like unjust enrichment, it's just contracts. Which is kind of, I had this exchange with him after I wrote that piece. But now I'm thinking that can't be, that's probably not right. Right, Donnie, I've really come a long way here.
Did he offer an explanation or was just...
I think he's good point, Evan. I think he's very into like Kol Tanai Shevin Mamon. If you're a Kol Tanai Shevin Mamon guy, then everything is working through the mechanism of this is an implied term in your agreement, but you need an agreement in order to have implied terms. So it's only contractual relationships that could like sneak in all this custom stuff through the back door. And then like, but then once you realize, and this is why I'm so sensitive to this now, once you realize that, you know, Darshin on Lashon Hedyot is a sui generis halachic principle, and, you know, Tanai, this stuff could work mitam Tanai Bezdin, or Minhag and Tzitumta on its own merits, then like, you're not bound to that limitation to implied terms and agreements. You hear that, Evan?
Yeah. So... according to that line of argument where it's kind of only when two people or when groups of people contract into a certain system almost. So then like even within that, if we all contract into the minhag where if you ding someone's car, it's not considered nezek, then it's a, whether the agreement be a kinyan or Tanai based in Tanai mamon, or the agreement is just public agreement. Like I don't really see that big with distinction.
I'll tell you, so the difference is you have to be like a fabrenta, you have to be stark on like social contract theory as like a real contract in order to get that out of the Tanai Mamon view.
But the whole point is that it's a minhag, which is like something that everyone does somewhat formally or somewhat, even if it's not like social contract, but at least like social norm.
Okay, so that's the nafkamina between the views, right? So on my view, you don't need a contract. Sorry, on my more recent view, you don't need a contract to get to this stuff, right? It's like the fact that it's the minna gives it force on its own. But if you're like a real Tanai Mamo and this is an implied term, then you need a real contract to get it in, right? And like then you have to believe that the social contract is a real thing. As a political philosopher, like my view is like people don't really think that the social contract's a real thing. right? At least, like, when there's no real consent, there's no real, whatever. It's complicated. We could talk more about that.
So just on Z's point, just what you sent into the chat, that, like, the Tanaim of Yeshua, that could be more, like, top-down, as we were saying, not necessarily, like, if it's legislative, how... I know there was a conflation of Tanai and Minhag, so I guess it goes back to that conversation, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. So Zachariah is saying that, oh, what about the Tanaim of Yeshua? But I would say that the Tanaim of Yeshua are examples of takanos, not, you know, agreements. So I think Evan's right. They're more legislative than you know, bottom-up or contractual. Great. This is really good. I say let's stop here. It's hard. You want to get a point in, or the chat point was your point?
No, that's just the Yeshua
point. Yeah. Okay, let's stop here. Let's pick up on Thursday with these other Dover Shabbali Olam points. Want to talk a little bit about this, you know, Sitimta B'dibor without any Maisa Kenyan you have in the Makor sheet here, and the Doraisa Drabanan distinction. I'm just going to add just right now to say that, of course, a private Tanai wouldn't work to allow a Kenyan on a Davar Shalom Baliolam, right? You can't just have a private agreement to be Makne Davar Shalom Baliolam. So I think that's another reason for thinking that Sitimta is not grounded in Kol Tanai Shabbat Mamon. And then once we finish up, I'll add a few more Makoros on Sitimta before Thursday, and then I want to move on to Darshin on Lashon Hedyot a little bit. So you could actually just look, if you finish these Makoros, just look at the Sugya and Hamakabel, and I'm going to make a separate Makoroshi for this. Again, just to show that we're doing more Sugyas. Look at the Sugya and Hamakabel on Darshin on Lashon Hedyot, and then I'll add some Makoros on that. All right, Yashar Koach, everyone. Great discussion.